Welcome to Taboo Topic. I'm your host, Ken Drew, as usual. I have a special episode for you, as the athlete known as Simone Biles decided to focus on her mental health. The media has been either overtly obtuse or celebrating her surrender. So today I'm just going to go ahead and open up the floor and be honest about my perspective on mental health and even give you an insight about my mental health experiences as well. Which, if you've been listening to the Sunday episodes, you'll know that I do deal with mental health. With that said, I've been more alarmed with the conservative media, how they've addressed this. And there are problems we can address on the progressive side as well, but I'm mainly concerned with the conservatives because that's the ideology that I land on for the most part. So they'll be discussed further, this Thinking Out Loud segment, and further on. But before I do, I will remind everyone you can read future newsletters by typing in the URL at kenjin296.substack.com. I repeat, kenjin296.substack.com. Spell the word engine, put the letter K in front of the word engine, then you get Kenjin, one word, 296.substack.com. Then you can also follow me on Instagram by typing in Kenjin_express. I repeat, Kenjin_express. And then last but not least, you can follow me on Facebook by typing in Taboo Topic. Look for the logo that says Honesty Equals Understanding. After this short break, we'll get the show on the road, starting with my Thinking Out Loud segment. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I'm your host, Ken Drew, with your Thinking Out Loud segment. Mental health. A subject that means different things to people, depending on your understanding of it. An understanding that varies by age group, race, personality, experiences, and upbringing. All of this can shape ideologies. For myself, I was more in agreement with conservatives. Lately, however, I have been disappointed. A disconnect, if you will. There have been some other instances recently that have created this disconnect, but how the conservative media covered Simone Biles was a tipping point. As someone who deals with mental health from a typical season of depression to severe depression, of which I do indeed deal with suicidal thoughts when under that season, have never seen so much ignorance concerning the subject. You've heard comments such as quitter, selfish, weak, too emotional, bring a shame to the country, or my personal favorite from my best friend Charlie Kirk, a sociopath. The only right-leaning figure that showed remote compassion was Megyn Kelly, to which she considers herself an independent. But this isn't the first time we've thrown shade towards people who put mental health first. Though I gave Megyn Kelly credit for showing compassion and empathy, she has been guilty of being obtuse towards a tennis player, who cited mental health concerns as well. Remember the NFL quarterback Andrew Luck decided to retire a week before the regular season? The man was literally booed as he walked out of the stadium. A lot of the same sentiment you hear out of conservative mouths today in regards to Simone Biles. There was similar distaste in his decision, wondering why did he wait this long to step aside. Let's get into the Hollywood world. When we had TV shows, literally making fun of Britney Spears and her breakdown, mental breakdown on national television. I'm glad to say we've progressed since. At least since the 2000s and our parents' generation and grandparents' generation. But as evidence shows with these athletes I just mentioned, there's still much to learn. I will say this in response to these assumptions, the assumptions that carry stigma. The tough it up mentality has its consequences. Before COVID, suicide had become our country's 10th main reason of death in the United States per CDC. Second leading cause of death among individuals between the ages of 10 and 34, and the fourth leading cause of death among individuals between the ages of 35 and 44. Nearly 2.5 times as many suicides, 47,511 in the United States, as there were homicides at 19,141. Conservatives like to talk about homicide numbers, right? 2.5 times more people died by their own hands than homicides. Per 100,000, suicide rates among males were 22.4%, while females were 13.9% in 2019, with Native American men making up 33.4%. For those who consider this to be a white man issue, not to take anything away from the 29.8% of men who are white. Other statistics by race can be summed up with Native American females at 11%, 8% of white women, 12.4% of black men, 2.9% for black females, 11.2% of Asian men, with their female counterparts at 4%, Hispanic men, 11.3%, and women being at 3% in that community. Oh, and before I forget, in case anyone's wondering, this is a generational thing. The same generation that created the tough it out paradigm, they make up the largest percentage per 100,000, with men at 75 and older with 39.9%. 26.4% between the ages of 65 and 74, 29.9% at 45 and 64 in the age bracket, in the age bracket of 25 and 44, 28%, 15 to 24 age bracket is 22%, anyone 14 and under is at 3.1%. The female's highest age group affected by this are the ages between 45 and 64, sitting at 9.6% per 100,000. Facts don't care about your feelings. Right, Ben Shapiro? Out of those deaths, at least 24,000 will use a bullet to end their life. Though men are more successful at committing suicide, women experience more suicidal thoughts and attempts than men, in case you were wondering if it only concerns men. As women who experience suicidal thoughts landed at 5.1% compared to 4.5%, suicidal attempts had women at 0.7% as opposed to 0.4% of men. There's also a crisis in the veteran community, as 22 veterans die daily as a result of taking their own life. That has created more deaths than the 20-year war on terrorism. More police officers and firefighters die by their own hands than the line of duty. High-stress jobs, including those two professions, and medical personnel such as EMT, about 30% experience some form of mental health, including PTSD. There's also links to substance abuse and sexual assault. Which, by the way, Simone Biles was a victim of sexual assault not too long ago. In this Olympics, she was taken off her ADHD medication. Just a thought. All this data presented before you was before COVID. Imagine if I went to the effects of lockdowns it had with people. COVID and post-COVID. America, we're at a crossroads. I don't want people to villainize those who decide to be honest. Which that is a healthy correction. The ability to be honest with where you are at mentally and sometimes taking a step back. Whatever you need to do to protect your mental health. How do we deal and protect mental health will differ based on individuals. It's not universal. It comes, it goes, and people have different triggers that lead us into that season. It's not a black and white subject. But if someone does, let's not overcorrect and celebrate that they're struggling with these mental health problems and call them heroes for it. But back to the people who inspired me to have this episode. To you, I say this. If you're one of those meatheads that wants to pile on someone who decides to put their mental health first. Keep that same energy when it's someone you know dealing with this. Or better yet, you. Thinking out loud. We'll be back after this short break. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew. And before I go any further, that was your Thinking Out Loud segment. So let me ask everyone, what did you think? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Or neutral? Reach out to me through the social media platforms I mentioned earlier. And we'll get the show started. Obviously, I've been very disappointed with the conservative media, in particular, how they've handled the conversation in regards to mental health. Every possible stigma you can think of, they pretty much threw it all out there for the whole world to show. Saying it's a sign of weakness if you decide to take a step back to protect your mental health. And, you know, I think there's a generational gap. I think there's a generational difference between... because the majority of the conservative media, as the rest of the media, they're a little bit older. And so with that generation, the generation that they grew up with is you suck it up. Suck it up, tough it up. You drive on. And as I mentioned in my Thinking Out Loud segment, it has its consequences. So as a result, I've been feeling disconnected from them. I think the majority, at least when it comes to my generation of conservatives, it seems like we're more in tune with the realities of mental health. But for those who may not understand mental health still, and they're still learning, I hope this episode can be a learning tool, an opportunity for you to understand what goes through a person's mind who's dealing with mental health. And for anyone who deals with mental health, I hope this gives you a reassurance that you're not alone in having these thoughts. Because in reality, I think there's a lot more people that deal with depression and suicidal thoughts than the stats show. I think it's highly underreported. And people don't like to admit they are struggling with these thoughts because of the stigmas that come with it. Oh, you're weak. Oh, you're petty. Oh, you're emotional. Oh, you're selfish. All of those stigmas that are associated with makes it hard for someone to come out and admit and be honest about where they're at mentally. And I don't want people thinking that by being honest, we're asking for you to celebrate the fact we're struggling with this, but at least celebrate the fact we're being honest with you. That we live in a more honest society, a truthful society where we can be authentic and real about where we're at, so that we can actually have real growth as a human being. So I'm going to share my story. I'm going to share you my experiences with mental health, how I've dealt with it, and the kind of seasons I've been in. And it really starts in 2016. 2016 was probably the beginning of like a serious depression season. I was having some real issues with my self-worth. I was going through a change in my life. And I felt like I wasn't being seen. I wasn't seen. Which, at that time, I didn't know that it was a result of my upbringing. But what was going through my life at that time, anyway, there's some life milestones that I had achieved, and to me, from my perspective, either people didn't seem to care, or just wasn't a priority. Like, they didn't care enough, right? And I know if to some people, you may think, well, you're being selfish, Ken. How can you think like that? Why can't you put yourself in their shoes? And I have put myself in their shoes. But for example, when I graduated from basic training, I couldn't help but notice everyone else's families made time of their lives to see their loved ones. And some of them were just friends. They weren't actual blood-related family members. I saw how they made their time and effort to go see them. And so I kind of contributed to my state of mental health at the time. And then certain people that I met during that time period were more or less making me feel used. They would only reach out to me whenever they needed me for something. And I just thought to myself at the time, like, is this really my whole existence? The purpose of my existence? Am I just people's commodity? Convenience? And so that had an impact on my mental health at the time, and it triggered some severe depression to the point of where I wanted to commit suicide for the first time in my life. I wanted to commit suicide. I wanted to end my life. And it was so bad. So bad. That I actually bought a bottle of painkillers ready to swallow to end it all. But a phone call, because a friend called me back, a phone call stopped me from going through with it. I spit, because the bottle of pills, right? I grabbed a handful, stuck it in my mouth. I was ready to swallow it. And then when my friend called, I thought to myself, man, I probably should answer this phone call. And I spit it back out, and I was fine. When I say fine, at least I didn't have the need to do it anymore. I don't know what happened. But there was a voice in my head at that time. It was probably God's voice saying, don't do this. So I didn't do it. I listened to God at that time. And I can honestly say, even to this day, even though I've had some seasons where I've gotten that deep, where I was contemplating to end my life and wanted to die, I haven't gotten back to that point of, I'm actually going to go through with this, or I will go through with this and become a real statistic in the sense of being successful of taking my own life. There have been other seasons. I had a couple good few months after that season. I would say closer to the holidays. Started getting back into deep state of depression again. And I remember because I remember I had a couple buddies that noticed the shift in my demeanor, and one of them literally said, you've been depressing lately. Which, he's one of my best friends to this day, by the way. But that's just to show you the reality of where I was at. It was pretty obvious. And if you know me personally, I'm not the greatest at hiding my emotions. Like, you can either hear it in my voice, how I walk, or even just looking at my face. You could pretty easily tell if I'm doing okay or not, right? It's not that hard. But during that season, I was, again, just felt like I wasn't being seen. But this time I didn't want to get back to that state. I was determined to find a way out of it. Even though the other half of me didn't want to go fight it out, the other half of me wanted to, because death by your own hands is never pretty and easy. It's always painful. There's no such thing as an easy way out, because it takes a lot to kill a human. So I discovered poetry for the first time in my life. And I kid you not, if you know the rapper NF, he's the one that inspired me to start writing these poems. His energy, his raw, his honesty. And he was saying things and expressing things that I was feeling at the time, but didn't know how to. And so I started learning from him how to express what was going on in my head and process what I was feeling. And eventually started sharing it with some people. And then some people were, quite frankly, some of them were shocked that they're like, are you okay? And then other people were just impressed. They loved the poetry. And that was the first time I got validation in the sense of I had never been told I was good at writing up until that point. I was told my entire life I sucked at writing. Even by the people that were supposed to be the biggest encouragers, your biggest support system, if you will. I never even got that from them. I was always told I sucked at writing, I sucked at English, the whole nine yards. I was just dumb. And so, honestly, just getting that validation from people was great. And it kind of helped me get out of that season, but not just because of those people, but just because I was learning to express myself finally. Because up until that point, I didn't know how to fully release the energy that was bottling it up. I was bottling it up so much that eventually I exploded. And obviously that explosion almost led me to actually take my own life. And so I was starting to learn to take steps to better my mental health. Now I have a couple friends of mine that I reached out. You know, they tried to encourage me to talk to a therapist, and I was like, nah, I don't talk to a therapist. I'm good. I'll pass. But I eventually would have to talk to a therapist. I eventually did. I say that because by the end of 2017, I was going through another rough season. When I say a rough season, I was getting out of a toxic relationship. And when I mean toxic, I mean she was literally the clone of my upbringing in the house. Very critical of everything I did. Very manipulative, emotionally and mentally, to the point where she became the center of my universe. I stopped going to church. I didn't even talk to my friends for the longest time. The friends I normally talk to, I didn't talk to them. when I first talked to them after that relationship, they were shocked to even know that I was in a relationship to begin with. It was so bad that I stopped going to church altogether. Like, I had gone 9 months getting away with only going to church maybe twice during that time period. That was it. And my lowest point in that relationship was when she convinced me it was a good idea to open up to the idea of having an abortion, because I was sexually active at the time. And I know if you're a Christian out there, I know. What was I thinking? But I had a deep insecurity problem at the time. I didn't want to be left alone. I wanted to do whatever it took for that person to stay with me. Because at that time, I didn't know my self-worth still. And so I thought I had to, like, become someone else for her to stay with me, for her to like me. And in some aspects, I kept, you know, I still was true to myself, but before that relationship, abortion was not something I would have ever opened up to in my life. But because my self-esteem was and my self-worth was so low, that I allowed someone to manipulate me. And I say I allow because I take some responsibility in this. I knew better, but I wasn't man enough to stand my ground and serve God. And not to get too off track, but when God says the wages of sin is death, spiritually speaking, it can lead to eternal separation from God. And it can mean literal death as well. But sometimes I think it means misery. You're living a life full of death. And I was living a life full of death. Just my broken fellowship with God was just all over the place. I basically had no relationship with God at that time. I was saved and everything like that. I didn't doubt God's existence or my salvation, but I lived as if there was no God in my life. And as a result, I was miserable in that relationship. And so by the time that relationship ended, I was a... Oh my gosh, what's the word? I was just a shadow of my old self. A shell of my old self. Right? I was so out of touch with myself that when I was meeting new people a few months later, I bet they would tell you that I was a big jerk to them. Because here's the thing with relationships, and if you've been in a relationship, you probably know what I'm talking about, but the person, your partner, tends to rub off on you after a certain amount of time. It's natural, it happens. And she rubbed off on me quite a bit. I mean, she's the center of my universe. She's definitely going to have quite an impact on my worldview. And so, I was miserable walking around, because she was a miserable person too, frankly. So I was a miserable person, being a jerk to everyone else. And I was also being manipulated too, in the same manner that she was, which I hated. But that was the straw that broke the camel's back when she broke up with me. That was the straw that broke the camel's back that made me seek a therapist for the first time. I needed help, professional help. Because I just thought to myself, like, why do I keep running into these assholes in my life? Why do I keep meeting people that take advantage of me? And it affects your mental health when people do that to you. Mental health, people, is one of those things where it's a two-way street. Like, if my arm is broken, for example, sometimes it's just a matter of your own doing. Like, you did something to break your arm, But other times, it's the result of someone else's doing that breaks your arm. Same thing with mental health. Sometimes it is your own doing and who you surround yourself with. But you can't control the people's actions either. You can't control their actions and how they treat you and affect your mental health afterwards. And so that's what was going on in my life. And so by the end of 2017, entering into 2018, I started talking to a therapist finally. And I started to heal a little bit. But I had to detox myself of that thinking that led me to my misery. That's led me to misery a lot of times, quite frankly. Lead me to that deep state of depression and at times suicidal thoughts. Now, I'm glad to say at that time, I had not thought about suicide for the majority of 2017. I would actually say the entire year of 2017 was probably a good year in that regard. Because my mind was pretty occupied with my ex. My world revolved around her. My happiness was the result of her. Even though God knows she was not good for me. So 2017, that was a good year in that sense. But afterwards, after reflecting back, I thought, wow, I need to figure this out for myself. Like, what's going on? Why do I keep having these issues? So I started to talk to a therapist for a year. And by the way, I've been talking to a therapist for the last 3 years since, so if you want to celebrate that, you can. But anyways, so during that process of 2018, you know, I'm learning about myself more and more. And I want to say, for the most part of 2018, I want to say I didn't have any thoughts either. I had some depression seasons that year, though. But it was never severe. I never got to that suicidal season that year. There was stuff going on at work that I was dealing with. And again, if you know me personally, you know I'm not the greatest at hiding my emotions. And so when I walked into a room with all my coworkers, they could tell something was wrong with me. But it affected my mental health even worse when they would start treating me differently and started walking on eggshells. As if I lost my humanity because I was going through a season. And there were some things at work, some drama at work that was giving me all these extra stressors. I was getting in trouble at the time. And in case you're wondering what I did exactly to deserve that, I may have or may have not backed a patrol vehicle into a fence line. And my partner decided to tell leadership, and leadership took it as I was trying to hide it. Trying to hide it, conspire, whatever you want to call it. And so they're going to do everything they could to make my life a living hell. And it was hard pill to swallow at the time, because up until that point, I'd never gotten in trouble before. The most attention I'd ever gotten at the unit was from mental health struggles. Which even then, they weren't that great when it came to handling mental health. They all whispered and gossiped behind my back at the time. Even to go as far as to suggest that I was going to be the next active shooter, beware of this guy. And so I had to deal with that. And that was a hard season to go through. But I made it. I made it through that season. You know, after that, going through that process, I afterwards had to redeem myself, if you will. despite the microscope being put on me. Whether you think it's justified or not, it's a different story, but I was going to pretty much do everything in my power to get them off my back. That was my goal. And there were times where I get into mild seasons of depression for like a couple weeks or maybe a month at the most during 2018, where I just, again, just seemed the whole world was coming down on me. As if I wasn't able to be human and make a mistake anymore. It was a lot of pressure. It got to a point where at one time, I was getting ready to go back home to Florida to see my family. And I kid you not, someone texted me the night before and threatened to call me back, recall me, in the middle of my vacation if they couldn't find a specific fuel card that we use to fuel up government vehicles on base. Because, oh, we saw a video of you actually taking the fuel card out of this packet thing, whatever. And at the time, I was thinking, dude, I didn't even see the card. What are you talking about? And long story short, they found out I was telling the truth. And it wasn't anywhere near my possession. So that was the kind of environment I was dealing with for 2018. And it was a tough pill to swallow. But also, towards the end of 2018, I found out I needed to get surgery because I had a hernia. And thus we entered the beginning of 2019, where I had to get surgery done, and I was getting ready to deploy later that year. After surgery, I got into a deep state of depression. Not suicidal, but deep state of depression. Because a lot of people, again, one of those situations where there's just a lot of absence. People that said they were going to be there weren't there. People that said they were going to help me out after surgery never showed up. I was there by myself. And that triggered some deep hurt. Again, I wasn't suicidal, but I was just very hurt. And it got to a pretty rough season of depression for about a first month of the year that year. And so you fast forward a little bit to closer to the summertime, which is right around the time I left for deployment. I would say like around maybe May, I started telling people that I was getting deployed. And, you know, people weren't really, I didn't really get much of a reaction at the time. People were just more or less nonchalant about it. And I thought, okay, probably one of the situations where it won't hit them until time gets closer, then they'll say something. And just let me know, like, I'll be missed kind of deal. And I say that in the context, I'm telling people in the church. That's what I'm talking about here. And the church, they made a big deal out of people leaving. At least when it came to mission trips anyway, they made a big deal of people leaving. Whether it was a simple trip to Arizona or they went to, you know, Czechoslovakia, whatever. You know, so I thought I was going to get that same treatment as well. Now, granted, I felt like I talked to enough people and the right people, leadership-wise, like pastor, whatever, minister, that they would say something before I left, especially if I told them, like, hey, next Sunday is going to be my last Sunday before I go. That time came, and wouldn't you know it? By the time I left feeling as if people could care less if I lived or died. And that's something I carried with me. And I think it still has an effect on me even today. But that carried with me during those 6 to 7 months of my deployment. And it's strange to say that because I wasn't really contemplating suicide. But I was in a severe depression. I was miserable. Distraught. I genuinely believe people could care less if I lived or died. And I had some people lash out from that specific church, lash out at me for checking in on them. Because God forbid you check in on them, they lashed out. I had someone lash out to me. One of the ministers lashed out as a result of me trying to hold them accountable for fulfilling a promise they agreed to. Someone decided to throw their burden and responsibility of finding a new person to watch my dog while I was deployed as well. About 3 months in, halfway through my deployment. It was so bad to the point where I had to consider giving my dog away permanently. Because no one would watch her. No one was stepping up. And so all of those pills were just hard to swallow. And I thought to myself, is this my life? Why do I keep having these issues with people? Why do I end up trusting the wrong people when I think I learned my lesson? So in that season, I was going through a deep season of depression, severe depression. And I would say it probably ended temporarily for about a week as I was traveling back to the United States, but it kind of was re-triggered when I came back home and I saw those families. I saw those families waiting for their troops. And when I say families, there's some friends as well. They were just waiting for them, and there was no one there waiting for me. And so it was a hard pill to swallow as well. The person that picked me up was like 30 minutes late, and ended up living with them for the month. But no one was there to just to welcome me back, just to welcome me back kind of deal. And so that was kind of a hard pill to swallow at the time, and it triggered a season of depression. Severe, I would say. But temporarily ended, until the lockdowns began to be uplifted. And I say that because, obviously, you know, no one's allowed to go out at the time, but I communicated to some people and said, you know, hey, you know, back in town, let's hang out, etc. And long story short, again, one of the situations where I just wanted to be seen, but I didn't have that support, at least from my perspective. No one really reached out. I would see posts of people, and people even at work talk about what they did during the weekend and how they were celebrating someone else coming back. And I just thought to myself, like, man, am I not really worth people recognizing or celebrating being back? And I was suicidal. I was starting to get to that suicidal point again, but I think I was more angry than anything. And I wasn't able to see my therapist at the time either because there's problems with the insurance. So I didn't have like an outlet to talk. And I stopped writing poetry at the time. But it was just piling on. And the church as well that I had left, I tried to give it another opportunity. Again, I would just see people waving to everybody else and, you know, trying to make conversation with them. And I was kind of like the last thought. At least from my perspective. It's like, how come I don't get that effort? Am I not worth the effort? You know, those were the, you know, when people have depression, it comes from a deep place of hurt. And I was coming from a deep place of hurt when I was starting to become suicidal in that sense. And then, you know, if you haven't figured it out by now, it's just like, you know, one example after another example, just things start piling on. And I was bottling it up inside, but I was somewhat suicidal, but I was becoming very angry at the world more than anything during this depression state, to the point where One of my friends decided to celebrate the fact that he came down to visit in San Antonio that he had not seen or met before. And I was upset by that because I thought, wow, what? You're making all this effort for someone you barely know, and that you've known me for years and literally did nothing when I got back. And so I had a lot of resentment built up, and I blew up in a dinner table in front of his friend, in front of his friend's girlfriend, in front of his wife. I just blew up, and I decided to just take a taxi home. I was just so upset. It was a hard season for me. And the church I was a part of, so there's some anomalies out there that you know who you are, so don't think this is pertaining to you if you happen to be listening to this episode, but the church I was a part of didn't really help either. My tipping point with that church was when, so I had opened up to several people before as well, and there were some people that they played a good acting role, to say the least. They were pretty good actors, right? And let's just say they said one thing and did the exact opposite. And so, yeah, man, don't worry, you don't have to go through this alone. I'll start hitting you up and everything like that. And then come to find out, backhanded anyway. I was left out of this supposedly party going on, right? And some people may think this is petty and everything like that, but keep in mind, like, everything I just mentioned, what I've been going through, like, to me, this was kind of the cherry on top. It's like another example, like, well, F you, fuck you, right? And so, as a result of that event, I decided to not go back to that church and find a new church. Because I wasn't gonna let one church get the better of me in that sense. So, one of the friends that I met from that church that only went there for, I think, a little while, and then after we met, I want to say it was like one of the last times he went to that church, but he recommended me to go to a church he grew up with. And to say that I fell in love with it would be an exaggeration, but it wasn't hard to convince me it was a good church to continue going to, at least when it came to Sunday sermons. I liked the church. Yeah, it was definitely helping with my mental health status. I was improving little by little. And by the time the new year hit, 2021, I decided I was going to get more involved. And so I started getting involved with their Bible studies and their youth group and helping them out. And mentally speaking, I was in a much better place. And at work, things had improved because I finally decided to get a desk job and I wasn't having to stand outside in the heat all day with my arthritis knees. Yes, I have arthritis for both my knees, stage 2, 25 years old. Isn't that great? But it was great. So my mental health was definitely on the rise at that point. Over the last 2 months, though, to catch up on current events, I've been struggling with mental health again. And again, I've noticed that every milestone, it's the milestones when there's no one there and there's absence, that's when these triggers happen. But no one was there to celebrate this latest milestone in my life. I tried to tell people and tried to do something, but again, in the words of MJ, just an empty seat, bunch of empty seats for the moment, and It was a hard pill to swallow. And at work, there were some things at work where I was pretty much the recipient end of being shafted for everything. And I won't get too into detail with that, but it was just a matter of like shit was happening at work to where some people couldn't work and we didn't have enough bodies, and so I was an able body. And so there's weeks where I ended up working a lot more than what I was supposed to work, the whole nine yards, etc. And that added to my frustration, especially whenever I would voice those frustrations, I didn't feel heard. And in the church, there are some signs where it seemed as though my voice wasn't being heard, or it was just drowned out, suppressed, whatever. And I want to say it was about almost a month ago now, where I finally opened up to them. Now, I was coming from a hard place, obviously. I was very suicidal, where I was just like, listen, like I want to die. I don't want to live. I need divine intervention in the Bible study group. And if you listen to my Sunday sermons, you'll know, or Sunday sermons, I'm not a pastor. If you listen to my Sunday episodes on Sunday, can't talk all of a sudden, you'll know the exact story as far as how I got to where I'm at. But 2 weeks after I opened up, I stayed to myself, stay quiet, but I wanted to be in a room. I wanted to be surrounded by people, and then eventually got me the boot. It got me the boot. And it was just another example of people just mischaracterizing and what they were seeing and not understanding about mental health. And that's really my story. That's been my journey with mental health. It's been an interesting ride. And in case you're wondering, right now I'm in a better state of mind. As weird as this sounds, but it was kind of being booted off without having an input, awakened a sleeping giant, and now I just want to talk about mental health because I'm tired of people stigmatizing mental health issues, real issues, human issues, to the point where people get ostracized out of their own circle. It's sad. And that will lead me to the next segment of what can we do if you know someone who's dealing with mental health, or if you're dealing with mental health, what can you do? What's some advice I could possibly give you? If you want advice, what should you say? What shouldn't you say? More after this. Stay tuned after the break. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew. Before I go any further, I do want to remind everyone you can leave a review no matter what platform you're listening to this podcast from. Hopefully it's a 5-star, but if it could be better approved upon to serve your needs, by all means, leave a review in the review section of the platform you're listening to this from, and now I'll read it so I can better serve you. I want to better serve you and help my audience talk about things that they want to hear more. With that said, that last segment, I opened up the door and I became vulnerable with you guys. I hope you appreciate it. In case you're wondering after that vulnerability moment, you're asking if I'm okay. Don't worry, I'm okay. In this segment, I want to help people out a little bit. I want to talk about what we can do, especially if you know someone who deals with mental health. What can you do to help your loved one? And if you're dealing with mental health, excuse me, I want to give some encouragement and reassurance as well. Now, when I speak about mental health, what I'm about to tell you, understand that I'm speaking in the context of those who are dealing with depression mainly. I can't speak for people who have deal with bipolarism, schizophrenic individuals. But the one thing we can all universally say is the last thing and the worst thing you can do is dehumanize them. That's the worst thing you can do. Right off the bat. Especially if you know it and if they tell you or you learn about it, the worst thing you can do is dehumanize them and start treating them less or viewing them less of a human being. And I think a healthy correction in society would be to just be honest with where you're at mentally. We don't have to make heroes of people who are dealing with mental health. Because the last thing I want anyway, and I could pretty much say for everybody else, is to celebrate the fact that we're struggling with this. What we struggle with sucks. We don't want to have these issues. Now I know there's stories out there, and there's going to be some strong men arguments out there that will say, well, I overcame depression. I don't see what your problem is or what these other people's problems are. If everyone just did what I did, we wouldn't have these issues. But here's the thing. Mental health is not black and white. It's not. And what these athletes have shown us this year or the last several years, I think it's a reflection of a mental health crisis that we've been having in our country. It's just now being talked about more. Because before it used to be, we only talked about it after a tragedy happened, for example. Whether it was a school shooting or someone we know and love decided to take their own life. After a tragedy, that's when we suddenly become interested in mental health. Especially in the conservative circle, that's the only time I ever hear them talk about mental health. Well, mainly with shootings and everything like that, but regardless, it's almost as if you're just now realizing we've had a mental health crisis, let me be the first one to say, welcome to the party. I could guarantee you right now, the numbers I talked about earlier, as far as the amount of suicidal thoughts people have had and the attempts people have had, I guarantee you it's a lot higher than what's being reported out there. It's underreported because people are afraid to talk about it and admit they're struggling with this. There's a lot of shame that comes with admitting they struggle with this because there's a lot of stigmas that have been associated with mental health, especially if you're someone who deals with depression or even suicidal, right? Some of the stigmas include you're being selfish, you're being cowardly. And if you decide to take steps to protect your mental health, then it's viewed as weakness. So maybe you're listening to the podcast and you're thinking to yourself, I don't want to be part of this culture anymore. I recognize that we have a problem. We have a crisis that needs to be dealt with, and we need to handle it much better. And you understand that maybe it's not as simple as simply calling 911 and handing out resources. And I'm not saying there isn't a place for resources. But you understand that not everyone falls under the same umbrella as far as how to address their needs and how to help someone get out of that state of mind, or at least get him into a better state of mind. Now, with me, you may have noticed a lot of the triggers that I had that triggered those depression seasons were absence. Lack of absence. Lack of presence, excuse me. Or people turning their back, saying one thing and then doing the exact opposite. Right? And sometimes for certain people, they're like me, where the fact they got to that point is a result of people not being present in those moments that they consider to be important in their life. Now, that's not the story of everyone who deals with depression, severe depression, or even suicide. I understand that. So let me just go ahead and say this. If you know someone who may be showing signs of depression, some of them include being distant, maybe more than usual, based on their personality. Anything that you would consider to be abnormal for their behavior, it may be a sign that they're not okay in the head, because everyone deals with mental health differently. And again, when I talk about mental health, I'm talking within the context of depression mainly, all right? Everyone deals with mental health differently. And so for me, I get distant. I become more quiet. More quiet than usual, believe it or not. And if you know me personally, it's not hard for anybody to see what I'm feeling either. Because my face, I guess, it's pretty easy to tell and read if I'm okay or not. But whatever it is that you see that loved one that tells you something's off, that's not typical of them, the first thing you could do is just reach out to them. Reach out to them and remind them that you're still in their life and that you're still thinking about them. Ask them, how are they? Just get them talking. Try to have a conversation with them. Regular conversation. Now, you can see the signs, but I guarantee you the last thing they want you to do is treat them and walk on eggshells when you're trying to converse with them. Guarantee you the last thing they want you to do. Remind them of their humanity. Remind them that what they're going through, it's not anti-human, it's human to be having these emotions. It's human to be hurt. So have a conversation with them. Now you may ask yourself, what if they start telling the things that I said earlier? Well, listen to them. Just listen to what they have to say. Why they're in a state of mind they're in. For some people, they don't really have a trigger. For me, the seasons that get me there, I would say 70% of the time, 70 to 65%, there's certain triggers that lead me to that state of depression. And the other percentage, right, 30 to 35%, are just seasons where it just comes up naturally. Like, I can't help explain like why I'm sad. I'm just sad, right? I'm very depressed. But I think with me, when it gets to the suicidal aspect, I do have certain triggers, right? But again, that's my story. That's my story. For other people, it's different. So whatever it is that your loved one is telling you, just listen to them. You don't have to hit the panic button. Don't have to walk on eggshells either afterwards. The point of the conversation is to remind them they're still human and they still love them and still view them as a human being. The last thing they need you to do is start treating them differently as a result. Or at least treat them as if they're a virus of some sort. For people, it's going to be different as far as what they need and what they tell you. For some people, they may want your advice. Maybe giving advice is good, but sometimes it's more important to just be present in the room. Be present in their life. Maybe they don't care for you to give the resources all the time. Maybe they don't care for you to give them, you should do X, Y, and Z. Do this and that. For some people, it works. For some people, they may need that. But again, it depends on what they tell you, what they need. Actually, listen to them. Don't just hear them out and they tell you one thing and then do the exact opposite of what they didn't tell you to begin with. That will make the situation worse. You want them to feel heard. Now, whether or not people have different triggers, and whether or not people have triggers to begin with, everyone has a way that gets them to at least a better state of mind. So listen to them. What are ways that helps them get to a better state of mind? And it's going to be different too. Sometimes they want to be alone. I myself will raise my hand and said there have been seasons of depression where I wanted to be alone. But there's other seasons where I don't want to be alone. And you know what? For me, when I'm in that deep state of depression, that severe depression, where I'm like contemplating if I should take my own life, that's the time I don't want to be alone. Those are the times I don't want to be alone. I'd rather be in a room of people, even if I may come across as distant, I'd rather be in a room of people than be isolated by myself. But that's my story. That's me. What does your loved one say? What does your loved one say? Listen. Talk to them. Not everyone either, keep in mind, is going to want to get on the antidepressants. I myself am one of those people. I don't want to get on the antidepressants. There's many people such as myself that think all it does is just kick the can down the road and ignore the problem. Ignore what's there. It suppresses what's there. And so for people like me, I'd rather experience and just deal with it so I can actually come out the other end stronger mentally. And it's not to demonize anyone who does decide to go that route. But don't assume that's the best route for everyone. Keep that in mind as well. Mental health is just very complicated, right? And so it really just depends and boils down to actually talking to the individual. Talking to the individual can go a long way in improving people's mental health. And if you're someone who deals with mental health, like myself, let me tell you this. I want to give you reassurance when I say there's no shame in what you're feeling. There's no shame in even having deep thoughts of depression, right? Dark thoughts. There's no shame in that. You're human. Normally when that happens, it comes from a deep place of hurt. I get it. But trust me when I say, every time I'm in that season, it always seems like this is it. It's going to get the better of me. This is it. I can't get out of this. I can't. I don't want to. Trust me, whether you believe in God or not, God, at least the God that I believe in, always places the right people at the right time to make sure you get out of that season. God will always find a way. And I say that again as someone who's experienced this. That last season I just expressed earlier, again, I thought I was done. I can't do it anymore. I'm not going to make it through this. I've decided this is it for me. Not this time. But God will always find a way to get you through it. All you got to do is just try to make it through the next day. Just make it through the next day. Find something small to look forward to for the day, if anything. Whether it's maybe you're looking forward to going out to get Chick-fil-A, or maybe you want to cook something, or maybe just doing something as simple as doing your laundry. Find little motivations to keep going, something to look forward to. Honestly, that's what's helped me as well. It's helped me get through the latest season. And you know, take some reassurance as well that you're not alone in feeling like this. You're not alone in feeling the thoughts that I've expressed today. You're not alone, and there's many more people who struggle with this than you think. We're just too afraid to talk about it for the stigmas. And I hope, for your sake, and for the next generation, that people like you and I will be able to talk about it more and be honest about our struggles mentally, without being villainized, at least. Because no one needs to be villainized for expressing their humanity. That's all it is. You're human. You're just human. Everyone goes through a deep hurt at some point. Unfortunately, some people have decided and have successfully taken the permanent solution. And that's a hard pill to swallow, but in order for those numbers to come down, we have to start creating an environment for people, starting in their own home. Conservatives like to talk about it starts in the home, right? Conservatives talk about it starts in the home. So it starts in the home, in addressing and being honest about where you're at mentally. Be honest with your family. Be honest with your friends. Let them know, hey, I'm in this season right now. I'm struggling. Help. Maybe help me, or please hear me. I understand at the end of the day, we just want love and support. That's all that's really ever been asked. A lot of times people, though, they just don't know how to handle things, and they hit the panic button for reasons that even they don't understand. But that's the thing. People are scared of what they don't understand. The older generation doesn't quite understand it quite yet. And maybe they'll never will. But I have hope that our generation and the next generation will make a better place for people to just be honest, including the work environments as well. And I would encourage the work environments, if you're an employer of some sort, to just give that space for your employees to just be honest with you. Or if your coworker to be honest with you without hitting the panic button, without routing up and getting medics involved and wrapping them in a straitjacket. Now, I know that's not what happens typically, but you get the idea. Create that environment of transparency. Allow the people to just be honest. And I know it sounds like I'm being repetitive, but I want to drive home the point, because this is what this show is about, taboo topic. In the logo, it says, honesty equals understanding. Honesty equals understanding. You'll never understand something if you don't let people be honest. If people can't be honest, then you'll never understand. If you don't understand something, then you'll never grow. That's the whole point of taboo topic. This is something people struggle with. People struggle with this, but they don't know how to express it because for the shame that carries with the stigmas that are being presented out there. And it didn't help that the conservative media pretty much validated all the segmentation. And I pray and hope that if there's any conservatives out there that listen, that actually at least open their mind up, open their hearts, soften their hearts up. When I say that we're not people to be villainized, we're not people worth cascading, we're not people hitting the panic button. Like I said, at the end of the day, we just want love and support. Listen to what we're saying when we say this is what we need to get out of this state of mind. And yes, sometimes some people, including my younger self, don't know how to express what they need or what they want. There's definitely those people who have a hard time. And for those people, the best thing you can do is continuously reach out to them. Be consistent. Consistency is key. Be consistent. I promise you, one day they'll open up. But you gotta show that consistency, that space, that reassurance that lets them know that you're someone you could, they could be honest with. Because chances are, they feel a lot of guilt about what it is that they need. And telling you, they may feel as though it's petty. I can tell you right now, even today I still struggle with that. In my head I think to myself, is what I'm asking petty? Am I being selfish for feeling like this? But let me just say this. And then we'll go for a short break. At the end of the day, if your loved one is dealing with mental health, remember that they're the ones going through the season, not you. Now, maybe you are going through season two, and that's great, and create like a support group. But let's say you're not in that season. Remember, at the end of the day, you're not the one in the season. If you don't understand it, you don't understand it. But try to take the time and create that space where they can be honest so you can understand. You see what I'm saying? Because that's the last thing they want you to do, is make it about you. When they start opening up, they shouldn't have to be apologizing to you for making you feel uncomfortable or hurting your feelings, if you will. Don't make it about you at the end of the day when they're the ones going through the season. Because if you make it about you and start calling them all the stigmas that are associated with it, who's really being the selfish one at that point? Their feelings, my feelings, they're real. They're not just some made-up construct we made it from the figmentation of our imagination. They're real. So don't make it about you, no matter what you do. If you're not in this season, and you know someone that's in this season, and you want to get to understand their situation and their mind, so they can get out of that state of mind, better state of mind, whatever. Whatever you do, do not make it about you. Because at the end of the day, those people, the ones that are dealing with depression, severe, suicidal, whatever, they're the ones going through the season. And I promise you, they don't want you to go a day having a thought that they're struggling with. I will raise my hand and attest to that. With that said, we'll be back after a short break and close things out. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Kendra, as usual. Before we close things out, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to today's episode. Today was a little bit harder for me to talk, just for the fact that it's not something I really planned on expressing one day and for the whole public world to know, but now you know. And I hope this helped you out if you're someone who deals with mental health, and or if you know someone who deals with mental health or want to learn about mental health. With that said, the advice I gave you is just my opinion, one perspective. It's not to say that everyone experiences this, nor is it the way to go. Take it with a grain of salt. And even if you don't think you need mental help, go talk to a professional. Talk to a professional counselor. I recommend everyone go at least talk to one at least once a year. Always talk to a physical doctor or check your physical health at least once a year. It's recommended. So why don't we do the same for mental health? Mental health. Excuse me. I don't know why I keep saying mental health. But yeah. anyways, thank you for tuning in today's episode. And until weekend review, I will see you guys then. Have a great day.